and the role that you play in what is coming up is so crucial. And that's why this morning, as I was praying and asking the Lord, and you really should ask the Lord, every time you speak, every time you have an opportunity to talk to someone, you've got to go to Him and find out, is there something specific that needs to be said? Something specific that needs to be declared? And I was sitting in my room meditating this morning on the Lord and thinking about this time with you. And all of a sudden, an urgency just came on me. An urgency about this meeting, an urgency about our church, about your church, about the move of God. And when you live in the outpouring like this, as we have since 2014, everything changes. Everything you do changes. The preparations that you make, everything, it's all about the outpouring. It's all about the move of God. It's all about the awakening, decisions that you make. Even right down to what you do in the children's area. Because they're as much a part or more of this outpouring that, as Jean and I were both sharing, the children are so open to the Lord. And in some cases, they're the ones that take the lead. For instance, early on in this, there was a Wednesday night service that we had, and after the service was over, the children's pastor sent me some pictures of the children laying at the altar of the children's area, laying out and praying. And I said, we're going to have that. We as adults will have that. And since that time, that has happened and that has come. But this sense of urgency that I have before you today is, this is a word from the Lord for us, as much for our church as it is for your church. And this is a very significant time, because what took place in your church over the last couple of days, it's just the beginning.
Amen.
It's just the start of what I see taking place here in what was and is a portal, a major portal from heaven, that Wales was used by God for such a magnificent outpouring. And that day is not over.
Amen.
It's still alive. It's still alive. And I believe that we were able to tap into that over these last couple of days. We were able to tap into this place that God has, and that He's looking for somebody. He's looking for a pastor. He's looking for a church that will run with this. He's looking for a church that will say, Lord, whatever you want to do, we will do it. And so this sense of urgency that I had, the Lord began speaking to me this morning. And if you want, I'd say, a title or a main headline of what I'm about to say, I would say it would be wrapped up in the word prepare. Prepare. Let's get ready. And really treat this with the urgency that it deserves. Because I truly believe that moves of God are inhibited or restrained because the people of God are not doing what it takes to get ready. We've received words for years about the growth of our church. We've received words for years, especially from Brother Copeland, about the revival capital of the world. And I just don't think that we have taken it as seriously as we should have. I mean, we should have been all over it. We should have been making preparation for it.
Right.
We should have been having meetings about revival capital and about the 10,000 that are coming. But, you know, I'm so grateful for Hebrews 4:16 in the Amplified that says He gives us mercy for our failures.
Yes.
Mercy.
Yes.
Mercy. We cry mercy. Because we all get involved in the daily operations of the church. We all get involved in the daily operation of our own life. But there's such an urgency about this that it's happening. And that it's not going to happen unless we get ready. We've got to get ready. So those two phrases, prepare and get ready. And there are a couple of scriptures I wanted to read to you. This first one is Isaiah 40. And it says in verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. Preparation. Preparation for the glory of the Lord. Preparation for what He has for us. Faith gets ready. Faith prepares. We know how to prepare for things. If you're taking a trip, you know how to prepare for the trip. For instance, on this trip, we prepared for it. We got ready for it. I made my own little chart of where we were going to be and the meetings we were going to have. And I'm not looking at Terry right now because she's probably smiling. Because I wanted to be ready for every moment that I was going to be here. From a natural standpoint of how I was going to dress and the things I needed to take with me. Preparation. And then there was the preparation time of just spiritual preparation. I brought two notebooks with me with the notes that I was considering and thinking about and looking at. And that's all I brought with me. I spent lots of time just before the Lord preparing and saying, what do you want me to take? What do you want me to have? And then, of course, when you get here, there's preparation and prayer. There's preparation. And that is the most valuable thing to me, the time alone with Him. That's why this morning when I got up, I headed into that place with the Lord, and I had to have a word. I had to have a word from Him. So there's preparation involved. We all know how in the natural realm to prepare. And in some ways, we know how to prepare spiritually for a service. You all prepared the music. Yeah. You knew what you were going to sing. You knew what was needed to be done with the musicians to get them ready for that. So we all know how to prepare for that. But do we all know how to prepare for an outpouring? Do we all know how to prepare for a move of God in a church? Do we all know how to prepare for in our case, and I wrote down this, I asked the Lord three questions this morning. Question number one, how do we pastor a move of God? I want to know. I want to know. Because in a church, when you're involved in this kind of thing, like as we are, we have people both that are in the church who are constant members, and then we have people who are coming from all over the United States and in some cases the world.
Yes.
How do we get ready? How do I pastor those people? And I'll tell you in a moment something I'll just mention it now. There's a thumb drive that we gave here that contained messages on it. And I don't know if each one of you have received that or not. Did you all receive one? You have not. Mm-hmm. You need to get one of those. And I believe in addition to the messages that I did, there are others on there as well.
I don't know. Encounter with Him.
Encounter with Him. Okay.
And the Shepherd's Heart.
Shepherd's Heart. That is part of your preparation assignment. To listen to that. Mm-hmm. To listen to what she says about the encounters with God, because that's what we're looking for in our church. Sundays, this Sunday, it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Visitation.
Unless you let it be.
Unless you let it be. But I know you're not. And the two things that are on the thumb drive, You need to listen to what she says about this encounter with God. And then you really need to listen to the messages on the shepherd's heart. It's a series of messages that I did in Australia some years ago. And it's seven attributes of a good shepherd. And that doesn't change. You don't stop pastoring people. As a matter of fact, the pastoring part is heightened in a move of God. It really doesn't change, except the love for people increases. Now that is a major key to this whole thing. We are not in love with a move of God. We are not in love with an outpouring. We are in love with God and we serve people. That's what we do. And we have to continually remind ourselves about that. And another thing we have to remind ourselves about in a move of God is walking in a place of humility. In humility. Because when a glory spotlight is turned over on you, that is the real test of just what kind of church this is and what kind of pastors we are. And we just have to continually have the attitude of Jesus. I am among you as one who serves. That's why we're here. We are to serve people. Whether it's 300 people or 3,000 people or 30,000 people, we are here to serve.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So I asked the Lord, how do we pastor a move of God? And I'll just read to you. I wrote this down this morning. And this came from the shepherd's heart. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 3:15 in the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you shepherds after my own heart. So my prayer is, and my desire is, God, what is your heart as a shepherd? I mean, you are the chief shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the lead shepherd. He is the bishop and the shepherd of our souls. So what is a shepherd after the heart of God? And that has to be part of the preparation. Part of the preparation, for move of God is both natural, but the most important part is the spiritual part, because the natural part comes out of the spirit. You know, you start thinking about things like room and space and logistics and parking, and you can get so buried in that and so overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
How are we going to handle 1,000 people or 2,000 people? Where are we going to put them? You don't put that first. You put the spiritual side of it first. Because those things will come out of the spirit. Those answers will come.
Yeah.
Pastors have talked to me, one in particular in Nice, about the fact that, of course, we've gone to one service, take the clock down off the wall. Well, he has two services. And, you know, there's all the logistics about moving people in and out and parking. And he was a bit concerned about it because he aspired towards this, but he's dealing with two services. And I prayed about it, and then I went back to him the next day, and we talked about it. And I said, you just need to pray and ask the Lord what to do. And I said, the most important part is that in your heart, you are willing to do in a service whatever God tells you to do. And if you only have right now an hour and a half to do it, then somehow, some way, the Spirit of God is going to enlarge an hour and a half, and there will be more that takes place spiritually in an hour and a half than some places have if they do 2 or 3 hours. And then you just continue to move in that direction. And then thoughts start coming to you. It is not out of the normal realm of the supernatural for somebody to come and say, we have a complex of buildings over here with lots of parking, and the Lord is just all over us about giving that building to you.
Amen.
And whether it's the one next door or it's someplace else.
Yeah.
What happens is you start praying in the Spirit and you start making spiritual preparation, And the wildest things start coming to you.
Okay.
Things that are so above and beyond your natural realm of thought. And by the Spirit, tongues and interpretation, there will be ideas that will come to you. You will begin to know what to do. You'll begin, I was thinking about you and I was thinking about the music. And I'm not kidding. When we talk about church 24 hours a day or 5 or 6, 7 days a week, mm-hmm. there will have to be shifts. There will have to be music teams. There will have to be pastoral teams.
Yeah.
And there will have to be a place where you just don't see yourself doing everything. Mm-hmm. That you are the shepherd of the outpouring. You're pastoring the outpouring. But we get over now into a mentality of we've got to use people. People have got to be trained up. They've got to be taught. They have to be brought to a place where they can see themselves as part of this outpouring. So it's going to take an enlargement of your thinking. You're going to have to expand and enlarge your capacity to see God doing this. You've been doing it at this plateau and level for a long time. So have we. But based on the word of the Lord, it's supposed to get bigger.
Right.
So
yeah.
the first question I asked him was, how do we pastor move of God? And the Lord said, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart. And I wrote this down for you. And you can listen to the series that I have. But this is what I did was I took these things, these 7 things, and expounded on each one of them. The Apostle Paul said, for the love of Christ constrains me. Even as big as everything got, the foundation of it was the love of God and the love for people. But I wrote this down here. Good shepherds, and I wrote these 7 things down. Number 1, they set an example for their flock. We are examples to the flock. That doesn't change. This thing gets huge, but there are some things that just remain solid. And that is the heart of a pastor. The humility that we walk in, the compassion that we have for others, the desire to serve God and to serve people. So we're examples. We continue to be examples. You're an example at however many people there are now and however many people are going to come in the future. You're an example of humility before God. And I think that just blesses him. It blesses him because one of the ruinations of moves of God is when people get so big in their own eyes that they begin to think they're the ones that are driving it. They're the ones that say, I got this now. I got it. I don't need your help. I got it. And we, in the midst of this, we must always, always have such a dependence on the Spirit of God for every day of this, no matter how big it gets.
Right.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries will be 50 years next year. Mm-hmm. 50 years in ministry. And I see Brother Copeland pressing into God more than ever. Listening to the Lord. You'll be in conversation with him and ask him a question, and he'll sit back and he'll say, I'm inquiring of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him do that more recently than I've ever seen him do it. He will be silent until he hears from God. And the man does not exude any sense of pride about any of the accomplishments that have been made by that ministry. But he carries that humility. So we have to carry that humility. We're examples before the flock, number 1. Number 2, we feed the flock. We're going to continue to feed the flock right on through this outpouring. The word of God must be preached. That's the foundation to the move. That is the very essence. And that's where it comes from. And as I said, and I've got it in this book, but I won't read it now. But I have scripture after scripture that proves the word of God must be preached. And the signs and the wonders will follow that word. Jesus did it. He taught and he preached and he healed. And he taught them many things. You know, you skip over something. like that, a little word like that, many things. And he taught them many things. So we're going to continue to preach the word. A good shepherd will lead the flock. We will take the lead. They have to be led. People have to be led. They have to be taught. They have to be trained. We set an example. We feed the flock. We lead the flock. We protect the flock. We protect the flock. When a move of God like this starts, people will come from different places, and strange people will show up at your doorstep. And so you have to take the lead, and you have to watch out for those things, and for the lady that comes to your church and is at the altar barking like a dog. And you just have to be sensitive to, you know, when you go up to somebody and say, let's step over here for just a moment. Because anything in a service that draws attention to any one individual person is wrong. It's out of order. It's out of order. Unless it's a tongue and an interpretation. But if it's in a time of worship and praise before the Lord, or a time of preaching, and somebody starts doing something weird out there, and all people are turning their heads, we have to take the oversight thereof. Got to take the oversight. And that's protection. People must feel protected in our church.
Yes.
Yes.
The next one, we have to pray for our flock. And that's something that the Lord has had me doing more and more and more. I prayed for you this morning. That was part of my preparation. It was praying for you, praying in the Spirit. Lord, what do they need to hear? And that's where the urgency started. I could just sense it starting to rise up. And it started rising up maybe 15 minutes before I left the room. It just got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what you have to do when you're preparing. You prepare a word until that word becomes so strong on the inside of you, you just have to deliver it. You've got to get that out. That's how I feel right now. I've got to get this out. So you pray for the flock. You know the flock. You know the flock. This is the core team right here. And then each one of you have your core team. And they have their core team. And we are learning the importance of teams. Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it will take for the outpouring of the Spirit. And that's part of our preparation. And I think sometimes that we don't see the things that we want to see because we're not prepared. We're not ready. That if it did hit, that it would absolutely overwhelm us. We prepare in the natural. We get ready in the natural. There's all kinds of things that Martin had to do in preparation for us to come. There's all sorts of children's ministry. There's all kinds of things to prepare for the children. You just don't show up. But it comes out of the Spirit to where you know what to do. We're going to know what to do.
Yeah.
We will know what to do. When we get back, we'll know exactly what to do and how to prepare. We've got to prepare for the first 10,000. That's the instruction that the Lord gave me. How do you prepare for 10,000 people? How do you prepare for services that will last hours? How do you, and I was thinking about it the other night. The Lord brings thoughts. He'll bring thoughts to you. And I thought about the children's ministry, and I thought about the teams that have to be developed. And you know, thoughts were just going through my mind about, you know, team 1 from 9 to 10. And then team 2 from 10 to 11. And then team 3 from 11 to 12. And we just have to train people. They might not get it right now. It may be uncomfortable for them. But, by golly, we've got to prepare. Blow the trumpet in Zion.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's get ready for this thing. So we know, we got to know the flock. And you start developing these teams. Then the last one, we love the flock. And that's the most important one. We love these people.
Yeah.
We set an example. We feed the flock. We lead the flock. We protect the flock. We pray for the flock. We know the flock. And we love them. And just, you can write this scripture down, Micah 5, 4 and 5, NIV. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. When you talk about shepherd and pastoring and all of that, I heard the phrase some years ago about pastoring supernaturally. How do you pastor supernaturally? Well, you know, you can just begin. You begin in that place with God and let him begin to impress upon you and show you things and reveal things to you. But there's a way, and I won't even get into it right now, but there is a way to supernaturally pastor a church and supernaturally pastor an outpouring. There has to be. Because an outpouring of God is a supernatural thing. A church is a supernatural entity. So whatever we do, we have to do it supernaturally. There was a word from the Lord that a man brought to us in our church. He attends our church. Pastored in Africa, has a magnificent miracle ministry. Travels. His daughter is our secretary. And he's just a wonderful man. And some months ago, as this was beginning to really ramp up, after a service, he said, Pastor, I have a word for you. And we went into a side room together, and I recorded it. And we printed that word out. But basically, he was talking about how you're going to have to take care of yourself during this. And that one of the reasons why these major moves have stopped is because, especially in churches, they completely got burnt out. It's so large, so huge, the pastors and their staff totally got burnt out. And he said, don't make that same mistake. So that's one of the preparation things that have to be done. I'll just bring it to you like this. Have you ever known that someone was coming to your house for dinner next Tuesday? Do you prepare?
Yeah.
Do you get ready?
Yeah.
Do you do a little extra cleaning in the house? Do you straighten things up? Do you start preparing what the meal is going to be? Especially if you're going to have multiple guests coming. You're going to get ready. You're going to get prepared. And it's no different for this in the church.
Yeah.
Because I see it. I see it. Yeah. I see it. It's so huge in me. The first question was, how do we pastor a move of God? The second question that he gave me was, how do we prepare for the first? Now in our case it's 10,000 people. You have to find out from the Lord what your number is. What's the next step? For us it's 10,000. For you it might be something else. How do we prepare for these people? And that's where some of these teams come in. Mm-hmm. These teams, we should be able to delegate some of these things to teams. Mm-hmm. To teams / prayer groups that will take them and pray over them and say, well, Pastor, we'll pray over the parking and we'll pray over the children and we'll pray over this aspect or that aspect of it. And get people involved in it. Don't just limit it to this group here because it'll overwhelm you.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are hungry to participate.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're hungry to jump in there. Some of them more than others. But more than you think. They want to participate in the life of the church. And we've got to figure out a way to get them on board them to the process of getting to the next level and get their faith involved. And one of the things that we've made a big mistake of over the years is we tend, as the leadership team and our staff, we just take it on ourselves. We just do it ourselves. And people don't feel a part. And there are gifts and abilities and talents that are out there in that congregation who are just waiting to be utilized. But there has to be structure.
Yes.
There must be structure. That's one thing that we're working on right now. There's a restructuring that's taking place in our church because we must have the systems in place to be able to handle thousands of people. We must have the basic systems in place to do this. And that's what I'm pressing into so hard right now in our leadership team. I've got to have the essentials of the church. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Disney World in Florida. That place is massive. And it's inspirational. Because you go there and you look at the excellence. You go there and you see the teams that they have of people. They don't call them staff members. They call them cast members. And it's a picture, to me, it's a picture of how we should be preparing for this outpouring, because they are able to handle thousands of people. They feed them. They move them along. They keep them going. And whenever... And I've been there a number of times, and whenever it rains, and the rain is over, whenever it rains, they have these raincoats that you can buy. Because most people don't prepare for it. So they've got these raincoats with Mickey Mouse on them that you can buy. And then after the rain is over, you immediately see people with squeegees, these big squeegees that are pushing the water. You see people...
Streets dry in 7 seconds.
Oh, they do. And people, they're picking up trash. And they have trash cans every... I forgot what the...
11.
Every 11 feet, there's a trash can. Every 11 feet, and they're trained. They're trained to take care of people. One of the times we were there, just Terry and I were there for a couple of days. We were at Disney World for a couple of days.
With no children.
With no children. And there's a place called Downtown Disney, which is shopping, lots of shopping and theaters and dinner and that. And we spent most of our time at Downtown Disney. And I dropped her off to go get tickets for a movie, and then I parked the car. Then I got out of the car and I was going in, and I saw two employees standing over off to the side talking. So I thought, I'm going to do an experiment. And I walked into their space. I purposely walked into their space to see what they would do. And as I was walking by, I walked into their space, and they both looked at me. And they said, is there anything we can help you with?
Wow.
They're trained. They have an institute there called Disney Institute, and they train these people. And they're the friendliest people on earth. I'm thinking, the church could learn something about this. We really could learn something. Because the pastor's heart in the midst of this is to take care of the people. I don't like to see anybody alone in our church. I don't like to see people sitting alone or by themselves or not approached. And that in the move of God, you don't throw away basic kindness. You build on that. People are coming into your atmosphere. They're coming into an atmosphere of the love of God. And the church should be heaven on earth. We should be demonstrating this to people. And at Disney, when I dropped her off and I walked in, and those guys looked at me, I thought, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And there's preparation that takes place. There is preparation that takes place between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. There is so much activity going on in the park. Even though it's closed, there are rehearsals that are taking place, if you will, worship teams, for the church's sake. There's, did they say there's more people?
There's more activity at night than there is during the day.
Wow.
As soon as the park closes, every night, maintenance crews come out.
Mm-hmm.
Every wall is reviewed, touch-up paint, corrections are made. There are painters all over the place every day. All of the rehearsals happen at night. They all come out,
mm-hmm.
practice their parades, practice their songs.
Mm-hmm.
New people brought on, training is done. The park lights up, and they work for hours into the night, working, rehearsing, fixing, correcting, changing,
mm-hmm.
all the landscaping, everything is reviewed. You won't see anything dead. There's no plants, nothing. Everything is always... You don't notice... It's not like you... But if there was one problem here or there, you probably wouldn't even notice. But it's the overall atmosphere that happens because everything is at that level. We went to another amusement park a couple of years ago for a concert. You had to go into the park to go. So we went, and as soon as we walked in, I said, this is not Disney. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can notice so much with your eyes, not really looking, but you can feel it. Everything is, there's so much attention to it that cumulatively, mm-hmm. it creates an atmosphere. And we're really working on that.
Mm-hmm. You've got to enlarge your thinking. Mm-hmm. We've got to get past the small-minded place where we are and get on over into helping people and preparing these systems and to get things in place and to be able to get them plugged in and not lose the life of our church. This move of God is not going to consume us. It's not going to eat our lunch. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to do this in faith and believe God through it, and the Lord is going to lead us. The third question I asked him this morning was, what do we need to change? And I'll read this twice. What do we need to change to adapt to what you are seeing for our church? What do we need to change to adapt to what you are seeing for our church? Lord, what is it I need to do? What thinking do I need to change? What kind of mindset do I have that must change? And I'll tell you one thing that the Lord has impressed upon me as the senior pastor is he's told me, I want more time with you alone. That's what he said to me. I want more time with you alone. I want you meditating on the Word. I want you meditating on the healing and miracle ministry of Jesus. I want this to get down on the inside of you so deep that it just comes up and out of you, and that you know some things that you didn't know before. That's what I want you to do. So he's challenged me to what I need to do to adapt to what he is seeing, because what he is seeing is huge.
Yes. Yes.
Like what he said to me early on, he said, this is bigger than you think. This is bigger than you think. And it is bigger than we think. And even the fact that we were streaming live to the world from Vine Church in Bridgend, Wales, was, to me, it's just the beginning. Yeah. To me, right. I was watching Mary with her phone back there, and it reminded me of the Wright brothers taking off on that first airplane. And it reminded me of what might be called the early days of television or the early days of motion pictures. But we did it. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. As fuzzy as the picture was that was going out, as fuzzy as the transmission was, we broke a barrier. By golly, we broke a barrier.
Yeah.
We streamed from this place.
Yeah.
Now that's something that you have to take to your team and say, what is it going to take for us to stream our services to the world? What is it going to take to get this out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't know how many people we had last night watching us. I don't know if Mary told you the figures, but...
Well, on one we had about 300. But that's just, I don't have the numbers on the other.
See?
But we had Brother Copeland streaming.
Yeah, maybe you didn't know that, but Brother Copeland was watching last night. So he got to hear you sing. But I'm telling you, it's big. It's big. And the Lord is saying, I asked him, what do I need to do to adapt to what you're seeing? In other words, how do I yield to your big vision? And that's what we're looking for, is his vision. And I'll just read a couple of things to you. And what we'll do is in a moment, we'll take a break. And then we'll come back, and I just want to hear from you. I just want to talk to you. I want you to talk to me. Give us a little bit of time to talk together. But just two of these words that came, this is from Brother Copeland in 1993, There is coming a time very soon, saith the Lord of grace, where the glory cloud will fall on churches. It'll fall in different places all over the towns. In some places, a few moments. In some places, a few hours. In some places, a few days. Be prepared. Be ready. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourself. Prepare your congregation. See, there's that word. Prepare. 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 And then I was looking at another one, and this was from Gloria, once again talking about healing services 24/7. And so she's talking about it in it, and she's saying, you know, I'm expecting people to be getting healed, healing in shifts. They'll be healing in shifts. We need to do what they did in the book of Acts. They came by the thousands. People came to Jesus to get healed. Then she said, God's arm is not shortened. And then finally, she said, I'm telling you, you better get ready. You better get ready. If you've got that kind of call on your church, you better start preparing. Because when it hits, it's not going to take long to see the results of it. Mm-hmm. So once again, preparation. Yeah. Preparation. And then finally, I read this scripture this morning. The Lord led this scripture to me because I'm looking at the pattern of the Bible. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say about this? Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the original intent of the church. And I'll tell you, I'm sitting and meditating and thinking out of the box. You know, just like Disney, you have that picture in the speaker's room of Disney standing there with on the grounds where the castle is, and you can see the faded castle where it's supposed to be. The man had vision.
Yeah, he did.
And I have that same card, it's a postcard that I bought while I was there.
Right.
And the bigness of the vision. And I'm thinking about the bigness of the church, and I'm thinking about beyond our own Sunday service. I just think it's so much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I keep thinking about baptism and how it's a big part of it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So look, there's some elements there. Right there. Continued steadfastly in the teaching, the doctrine, and they fellowshiped together. And they broke bread together. And they prayed together. In verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I believe what's being the foundation of the church, the outline of the church, and how it was to be conducted is in here. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. I see a time in the church where people are going to really step up to the plate where it comes to giving.
Right.
And there's
right.
going to be a lot of giving. We are going to help one another get out of debt.
Amen.
We're going to help one another overcome what needs to be overcome. We're going to help families. We're going to help provide for families. We're going to help single parents and single mothers with children. We're going to be the church.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bigger than what we've ever seen. I mean, we've had an instruction from Brother Copeland to establish a clothing center. Which that's just one of the things that he has had in his heart. And we're getting there. We're doing it. One of the things he wanted to see was healing services every day at Eagle Mountain. Well, this last year, we did it. We did it. And there are other things that need to be done. And we're getting there. Not under pressure, but still at the same time with great urgency.
Yes.
There was great urgency during World War II. Every day, every day there was an urgency. There were battles that were going on. Lives were being lost. Plans were being made. And you think about the war room in London that Winston Churchill would go to and the things that were going on in there. And I mean, it was 24/7.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Why don't we have that same urgency? Yeah. Well, we are. We're getting it.
Yeah.
We're getting it. And we're not burning ourselves out either. We are leading the church. There are generals in the church. And it's a military operation. And God reveals to us what to do. Anyway, they sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men, every man that had need. And they continuing daily with one accord, continuing daily. There was a daily element to this. There was a difference at Kenneth Copeland Ministries when we were on weekly television. When we crossed over into daily television, it changed our lives. Absolutely changed our lives. So, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and thank you that you're helping us with the preparation. Helping us to get ready for this mighty outpouring that's going to take place right here. And so, Lord, we honor you with this. And we've come to you with these questions. And we thank you that you will answer them.
Thank you.
For this church. For our church.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Would you like to take a break?
We have some tea and coffee.
Oh, we have 30 minutes. So if anyone needs to take a break.